Kaya, Wonju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Director Silje Evensmo Jacobsen's documentary A New Kind of Wilderness won the 2024 Sundance Grand Jury Prize for World Cinema Documentary, and it will be screening at the Adelaide Film Festival on Saturday 26th of October and Tuesday the 29th of October. This serene and moving film follows a young family in the midst of transition. Parents Maria and Nick are raising their four children on a remote farm in Norway, teaching them a self-sustainable way of life and learning how to live alongside the land they call home. With Maria's photography helping provide a steady income for the family, all seems to be moving along comfortably. That is, until Maria passes away, leaving Nick to raise the children. With no means of financially supporting the family, Nick is faced with the difficult decision of shifting his family to a new home and possibly even moving away from Norway back to his home country of England, where he has a stronger familial support. While this sounds like a heavy experience, Silje reflects on Maria's life perspective, her photos, and her journal writings, which can be found on her blog, and in that process she manages to transform A New Kind of Wilderness into a beautiful, enriching, life-affirming film that will leave you with a renewed perspective on family, nature, and the lives that we live. In the following interview, Silje talks about how she shot A New Kind of Wilderness and the relationships that she had with the family on and off camera, while also reflecting on the relationship that the film will have with the audiences around the globe, like they will when it screens at Adelaide Film Festival on Saturday 26th of October and Tuesday the 29th of October. Before the interview, if you want to head over to thecurb.com.au to listen to other interviews or to check out coverage that we'll be having on a daily basis from the Adelaide Film Festival, please do so. We are also a completely independent website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like you, completely ad-free, no ads on the website or on the podcast. With that said, if you want, you can support us by heading over to patreon.com/thecurbau to help keep our lights on from as little as $1 a month. All right, for now, here is a slice of trailer for A New Kind of Wilderness, followed by the interview with Silje.
Why is it that we live differently and we don't go to school and stuff than other kids?
Well, Mummy and I made a choice quite a few years ago when you were quite little.
Vi vil være uavhengige og frie.
I'm going to try as hard as I can because I know Maria would have wanted me to try.
Gratulerer med dagen, mamma. Kyss fra Frey. Elsker deg.
Anybody fall in the water this time, all right?
It'll be a good adventure then.
What's gonna happen today?
I have to sell the farm here.
Like, I've lived here all my life today.
Prison.
Oh, oh, Russian forest! Jeffy!
I really stop. I'm born up with
I have to ask them if you're allowed to carry knives, and I'm not so sure.
I have it in my bag.
It does feel like a failure.
I'm scared of it.
I want to, first of all, congratulate for the film. It is such a powerful experience and such a beautiful experience as well. I'm curious if you can talk about your journey with it, because I know that it's been around Sundance and different festivals. And what's your journey been like taking the film around the world and talking with people just like myself?
It's been amazing. When we finalized the film, we didn't know. We were like just eager to get it out. So we were like hoping for a Norwegian good festival, and we didn't have any clue that it will had such a universal, that will hit so hard, like for the audience around the world. And I think it's not just for me, but for the family as well, the Payne family. Like the first one they came to Sundance, they just saw it like on a small screen computer on the farm, and when they came there and just realized that their story meant so much to many people there in different ways, I think it just meant a lot, the world, for them, and it was worth it just being portrayed and being filmed for several years in a difficult period of their life. And for me as well, to see, like, in Europe, in Asia, in the US, in Australia, that it meets people in different ways. I know it's amazing. It's really, that's why we make film, and that why I make film, to wanting the audience around the world to see it and to feel something and to talk about it and to reflect from it.
Well, it really is a film that is about what it means to be human and what it means to love. And that's, you know, not just that, but it's also reflecting and supporting the world that we live with as well. And I'm curious if you can talk about finding those themes of love and family. They're so organic in there, but bring them out to the fore. What was that process like in shooting it and also using the footage that already existed?
Honestly, I recently found out that all my films and this documentary series that I make, it's about more or less family relationships, a relationship between humans and often family. I don't know. I think it's just something that really intrigued me and fascinates me, how we relate to each other, how we talk to each other. And I think as well, from being there, it was the first thing that I was interested in this family before Maria died, because I wanted to document their journey before her death. But after she died, I realized that now it's just, I can get her voice and story in, but also what will happen to the family, what will happen to the sisters when they split up, but how do they process as a family without their, like, Bauta, without the most important person in life. So I think I just have, that's, I'm not into the really sensational stuff and all that. I just like the subtle closeness to meet people where they are. And yeah, I'm talking away.
No, not at all.
That's what fascinates me. That's what I try to, in some way, to film in an intimate, delicate way.
I mean, it is so deeply intimate, and it's almost like you become part of the family too. Can you talk about the initial conversations you had with Maria and the family, like all those years ago? I understand it was almost 10 years ago that you'd started shooting. Yeah. So what was that like?
Yeah, it was 10 years ago, and I was like in the thought of becoming a mother myself. Well, like, will I, could I handle my career and become a mother and everything? And I saw her blog. She was an amazing photographer, and she just had this conscious choice of you know, wanting to be more together with her family and in the woods and in the nature. And what really fascinated, in Norway, nobody homeschooled. Nobody, you get looked up on like a really alternative hippie, but they were like, she was so, it's not about homeschooling. It's not about the way they love. It's just about making a conscious choice. And so I reached out to her and wanted to make like a TV series about their, a documentary series about their journey. And I made a pilot, I pitched it for the NRK, but it didn't come out anything. So we stayed in touch. I made other things. And then when she was sick, and just a couple of months after she died. So then I was like, okay, I really need to tell this story. And I think I called Nick, and he didn't know me well. I just met them once. But I think he knew that Maria wanted me to make a film about them and about their vision, about their life. So that's why he agreed, even though he was in a really terrible moment, in deep depressed, and of course losing her. But he knew that that was something she wanted, and so he said yes for me to follow them in that period.
Again, you feel like you become part of the family, even though we don't hear from you, but we feel your presence through the camera. And I know you've talked about how the family have, you know, they've kind of just accepted that the camera is there. But what's it like having the conversations off camera in between the moments that you're shooting? What was it like talking with them about what you were creating there?
Sometimes it was easy because they were like, they was excited about it, and they were kind of, you know, a bit flattered. And sometimes they were bored after me filming them for so long. I was like, are you going to film again? Can you please? And sometimes I put the camera down and would play card and just hang around and showing that I really cared for them and that I was interested in them, even without just following them with the camera. And of course, as for Nick as well, sometimes he was in like, what will this be? You film my children and us in the most vulnerable period of her life, and he was afraid, and I truly understand. I would be that as well with my children. But then we had good talks, good conversation, and tried to listen what he was worried about. And I could only say, I think this will be a really nice and good film that you'll be proud of, but you never know. So trying to comfort them, and also trying to respect the boundaries, because sometimes I will talk about losing Maria and talk about how it was, and sometimes I overstepped, and then they would let me know. And when the children know me better, they will also say, we need a break, and I gave them a break, and then we could continue when another day or later on.
It sounds very considerate, and it sounds like a beautiful reflection of Maria as well. Obviously, we get to see some footage of her, we hear her as well, and we read her words, and we get this idea of and this view of this beautiful person, this beautiful soul that has created this vision for her family. I'm curious if you can talk about, first of all, I guess what Maria was like getting to know her initially, and then bring out like being a custodian for her story, for her message as well. What was that like? What's that like for you?
I think it was like, first of all, I was a huge responsibility. I tried not to copy her the way she photographed. It was like I wanted my footage to be quite different from her visual style. But still, I was filming her family in this beautiful landscape, and it was almost impossible to not to just... So instead of like fighting against it, I just went on with it and trying to just capture what I saw in a bit of her style as well, I guess, inspired by it. But I think when it comes to what she meant, I think it was just her blog and her stories really inspired me. So I wanted them to be a part of the family life in present time. And always when you can see, like going to school, you can hear her talking about school and everything. But what is, I didn't know Maria well. I met her once, but we talked on the phone and we chatted. But I think I know her well more than she knew me, because her blog meant a lot to me. And I read it a lot, and I've gone through all her photos, like 25,000 photos, and all her videos, and I've read all the stories on her blog. So I feel that I really, really know her, and that she was a friend. But honestly, I just met her once.
Yeah, but you carry on her story so well, and that kind of leads into the other layer of this narrative. It's not just a family dealing with grief. There's so many different narrative threads here. The one that I really struck with was the story about the sisters and how they're both dealing with grief in their own ways. And I'm curious if you can talk about, we're effectively seeing, like with Ronja, I believe that we're almost seeing a new mother being born who's going to support and look after Freya in the future, and as she realizes and works her own way through grief. I'm curious if you can talk about getting to present their relationship on screen and what it meant to you be able to explore that and show this kind of evolving form of sisterly grief.
Yeah, in the beginning, I just, like after filming them a bit, I just realized it's two girls sitting on their own, like sitting on two different places, and they really need to talk and they want to talk, but nobody helps them, and they're not able to do it themselves. So I started follow this story and just to hope that they will like evolve, and that the process will bring them closer in some kind of way. And Ronja tried so many times to go to her sister, but it was too hard for her. And when she was going to leave to the north to study, she was like, I really want to talk to Freya, but I don't know how I can do it. And I'm like, could you do it in another way than talk to her? And she was like, I'm going to write her a letter. And then it was so nice just to be with her and just wanting to reach out for Freya and letting me be a part of it. You know, it's quite intimate and it's quite personal. And I really respected her if she had any boundaries and what I could film or not. And the story continues, you know, after the film, they've been traveling with me, just the two girls, running to take care of her sister, and their bond is just getting stronger and stronger. And for me as a filmmaker, just see that their process is just getting stronger and they connect more. It's really rewarding.
It's also like when you watch a film like this, I guess, as an audience member, you can't help but feel all of those words, those, you know, those beautiful, you're feeling calm, serene and things like that. And yet, we're almost, as society, have been attuned that there is this sense that you know, there's something a little twee, I guess, about that kind of feeling, but that's not there. It's all so honest and powerful because of it. And yet as well, like these emotions as we're watching it and feeling it, it's not overladen with grief, you know, it's not overwrought or anything like that. How do you find that balance of making sure that it's not too saccharine and not too heavy, but it's just the right kind of story?
Yeah, I think one thing is that the children goes in and out of grief. I think for them, I thought when I was going to film them that especially the young ones, the three younger ones that's living with Nick, they were with their father. They were like, they could be like, oh, I miss mommy. Oh, what's on pizza today? What's going to happen? Like, so I just tried to follow that in a natural way. And when it was harder, and that being said, that it wasn't like with the sister, it wasn't just beautiful. It was hard because, as I said earlier, nobody helped them in getting connecting again. And Ronnie was alone with living with her dad, and she felt alone. And the grief of feeling that she was losing her siblings was actually in a period stronger than losing her mother. It was just filming a lot and trying to, like, in the editing as well. I had two amazing editors with me, and we were just, if it gets too much on grief, then it will be too much. And if you don't have the layer feelings, you don't get the emotions you want out of it. So it's like a puzzle. It's not a film where we have the dramatic scenes that's really like, because the scenes are depending on each other. It's all like a puzzle building up each other, where the balance between the music and the sound, everything. So I have really great people working with me to like balance all of this. So it was a puzzle that I could probably continue to edit forever, you know, but it comes, it's the truth. It's a really balance that's so important. And we tested it so many times to know that it was the right, and we didn't even know when it was finished, but it was just the feeling that, okay, now it's the balance we want to, and we hope that it was like the right one.
For me, as I finished watching it, I got this feeling of wanting to reconnect with my family, wanting to reconnect with nature in a way. Is that the kind of feeling that you're hoping people might get from at the end of the film?
Yeah, sure. You know what really, like, it's men who, like, in their 30s maybe just start having a family, wanting to have a family, when they reach out to me, they don't know me, and then like, thank you for reminding me a bit what's important in life. It's not just chasing whatever I want, it's like the people I got close, it's to enjoy everyday life, to see the wonder in the small things, and to just be with my family and to be closer with like what's natural around us. And that's, I think that's wonderful. When people can reflect, like you say, I think that's, and for me as well, making the film, following them, it really affected me as well. So yeah, I hope that, and I hope people can reflect on their own life. And it's not like the pointing finger, it's just, you know, the world we live in now, it's so crazy, so many terrible things that happen. So let's just, what's important in life, the people that we love, you know.
And of course, it's not just about the family, it's also about nature. And that's such a huge aspect of it. And I love the title of this, A New Kind of Wilderness. It's a beautiful, beautiful title. Obviously, that comes from Maria's writing, but I'm curious if you can talk about what that means to you and how those words, A New Kind of Wilderness, has changed your worldview and seeing nature and life in a different way.
Yeah, I am so happy that you like noticed the title, because that was, I knew that from before I started filming, because of her, they were going into a new kind of wilderness in a way. I was feeling that it was a wilderness when I was making the film. And, you know, Maria, when she was six, the headliner was A New Kind of Wilderness. So it just had so many layers to the title. How it affects me in like kind of way, it's difficult to say, like, to point exactly what it is. I think it makes me look in a brighter perspective on things. And it has also like really made me think, make more like making a conscious choice in how we live, how I live with my family. I got two children. What do we want from life? And how do we act towards each other and towards, like, how do we live? Like, those kind of things. So not to like to be too much of a cliche, but just trying to reconnect a bit. And like Maria wanted, like, just be here now, be present, And I'm really bad at times, you know, everything that happens with the film on social media, everything going around. And then I'm like trying to remember a bit what I learned from filming them as well. And that also we need each other. You can see that like the sister didn't connect, that Freya wanting to go to school to the end. I think people need people. And you can also see that in the film. So the family wasn't just perfect, but they had many different layers that I think we can reconnect in our own lives.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things which I found quite maybe alarming is when they have to go to school and, you know, the kids come home and they've got an iPad and poor Nick, I feel so sorry for him in that moment, but the kids are just like transfixed by this iPad and the immediacy of technology appearing in their lives and disrupting that connection. Can you talk about that particular moment and what it means to kind of show the dichotomy between technology and nature that is kind of throwing a spanner in the works for their family?
Yeah, it was actually, I was assuming that film and then like, well, natural resistance will come, like that the school will say you need to take them to school, or like when he went to England that the father will say now you have to, like, but it the natural resistance like with other people didn't come so natural, if it's right what I'm saying in English now, but I knew that technology would be something that would come into their life, because in Norway we start with iPad before we learn to write. The kids, they don't have a school book in the first grade, they start with an iPad. And I know from having my children of my own that when it comes, the screen come, it just, this, the children can't like go away from it. And in Nick's family, they haven't been like, they've been outside just wanting to, in the dirt, going up in the trees. They haven't thought about screen at all because it wasn't a part of their life. But now it was unavoidable. And that was hard for him to have the rules, but they didn't have internet in the beginning. So they can only play, you know, the games that are on the iPad. But after a while, he needed internet, and now they are like having, now he's like opened up for his, I cannot stop it anymore, but I've learned them for so many years that, so they still appreciate nature. But I think it was important to show in a really like subtle, like small way, but just see that now modern life has arrived.
Yeah, well, very much so. And there's, you know, the sounds as well of the pinging and everything. It's just like this moment of disruption where I'm like, oh, gosh, is this what I'm like? You know, it's again, that reflection. And again, this beautiful relationship that they have with nature. You know, the nature that we get to see is so stunning. And I imagine getting to live there is such an amazing experience, but it can also be something that is very easily taken for granted. And I'm curious if one of the things I'm thinking about is that, like, when I watched it in my area of Western Australia, it was a very nice green area, and stepping out of my home and watching it, and after watching it and getting to go, oh, nature, there's a kangaroo, like, this is, you know, experiencing that. And I'm curious if you want that experience for people as well, on top of what I was talking about before, stepping out of the cinema and going, wow, okay, look at this tree, and actually experiencing that. Is that what you're hoping people get?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, we humans are like, nature are part of us, like we can't survive without it. We can't survive without animals, like, and trees and you know, everything that's around us, and nature and water. And I think we like disconnect from it so bad. I'm in New York right now, and I walk, and I love the like the busy life, but I'm like, but, and we go to cafes and to bars and to theaters, and it's amazing, but it's like, it's, you know, nature, we should, it's such a huge part of our, like, you know, DNA inside, but I think we just disconnect to it a bit because of modern lifestyle. I remember when I was pregnant, and all the, like, my girlfriends are also pregnant, they were like, it's so strange, it's so weird that we're gonna have like a human inside of us, and but it's so natural, but we disconnect from everything natural. And Nick and the family, they're so into all of this, and so important to be like feel everything of this. So I think we should connect to ourselves and to nature so much more, and appreciate it and take care of it. And yeah, and I said it to myself as well, because we need to remind ourselves that we don't survive without it, and it's a part of us.
And it makes us, you know, better people as well. It's.
I believe so, definitely.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, not to sound again, also too cliche, but watching a film like this makes us a better person too. Like it enriches us, and that's the power of cinema. You know, that's the power of it. And that's kind of a segue to talking about its screening in Adelaide Film Festival, which is this beautiful place. What's your, like, we kind of talked about this earlier, but what's your hope, I guess, that people in a place like Australia sitting down to watch this, what do you hope that they go into the film with something in mind to sit and watch it and view it?
I just need to say I love Australia, and I always have friends in Australia, and we always try to figure out how way I can move to Australia because I love the vibe and the people there. So I just need to say that. And I think I feel like a bit Australian in my mindset, and, you know, the outgoing and to be outdoors and have barbecues and everything. But I think if like we could share a bit like the same ideas of it, I think it's the same as we talked about. You go in and reflect on your own life without like the pointing finger that you should have need to live in a small farm in the like isolated place. But it's just more like, do I do what's right for me and my family, from my like inside myself, or is it just like a path that everybody else is taking? And how do I spend time together with my loved ones, and do I appreciate the small things in life, you know? So the things I remind myself about as often as I can, I hope people. And but also it's a film about loss. So I think if you have gone through grief, lost your mother, lost a friend, lost a sister, I think also I hope the film also can be like part of mourning, like part of a grief for other people as well, and help going through that. I think that's a really important part of the film that we don't need to remember when seeing it, that it's also a film about how we proceed after a huge loss.
I know you've talked about, because I've listened to a few interviews, and you've talked a lot about the power of grief and the place of grief. But as you talked about before, like, there is an aspect of joy that is associated with grief too, that I don't think that is really purely realized. And we get to see it here in such beautiful ways, where, you know, I think it's an early scene where the family are going to visit Maria's grave, and they're putting a beautiful heart of pine cones and stuff. And the grief, we so often think, is just people bawling their eyes out and crying and crying. And grief is a painful thing, it can be, but there is moments of joy. And that's what I loved about this, is we get to experience the moments of joy that appear in grief unexpectedly, which is quite a beautiful thing, because it's acknowledging that grief can actually be a very powerful, positive thing at times as well. Is that something you realize too?
Yeah, I think I realized it more like in filming as well. And also how they took Maria in on her birthday. They go to like the mountains, and they have like the fireplace, and Freya made this delicious cake, and she takes on the fire and give it to her mom and said, "Mom, oh, she's eating it all. She loves this cake." And I was like, for me, I was crying behind the camera, because that was like Maria. She had only been like, it was a couple of months since her passing. But the way that Freya was enjoying that, her mother, she felt her mother presence there, and the way they could celebrate her in nature, that was really something. Yeah, I don't know. It was amazing. Experience just being there and filming them, it was a strong experience. We had several moments with them.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's like, this is the kind of film that sticks with you for a long time, and you're very fortunate that you've been able to be the person to help bring the story to life. And so I can only imagine what your future films are going to be like as well, having gone through this experience, because that might change how you tell stories in the future. Is that something that you've thought about?
I hope so. I hope it can make me a better filmmaker and a better person in a way. And I hope that this is not just like a once in a lifetime film that I could, like, you know, use my position now in telling stories that means things for, like, they can be like the same, how do you say it, like make films that will mean something for people and in their life. And you don't have to, as I said earlier, you don't have to have the big like celebrities things or that going around everywhere, just like intimate personal stories about real people going through interesting strong periods of their life in a way. So I hope so. Every film is different, every story is different, and sometimes you just hit something universal and you don't really know, but that's what, of course, aim for, that people will see the film and they will make them feel something deep within.
Thanks again for listening to this interview with Silje Evensmo-Jacobsen, who is talking about her film, New Kind of Wilderness, which is screening at the Adelaide Film Festival coming up. If you want to hear other interviews just like this one, visit thecurb.com.au, where we will be bringing you the latest from the Adelaide Film Festival on the ground. Right, until then, thanks again for listening, and we will see you on the next.